Welcome to Hyperlocal, a podcast dedicated to inspiring economic developers, job creators, and community champions. I'm your host, Mason Ainsworth, and our mission is to bring you real-world stories, proven strategies, and game-changing projects using local solutions and global perspectives. We have had incredible guests on the show, and we're just warming up. Downtowns matter. And Rachel Braithwaite is leading the charge with Canada's largest provincial business improvement area association. As executive director of the Ontario Business Improvement Area Association, OBA, she leads with enthusiasm, has the fantastic ability to take small ideas and turn them into significant events. She dares to dream big and supports dynamic downtowns across the province. In this episode of Hyperlocal, we unpack activating communities and building a strong BIA, OBA's mission, programs, and its upcoming conference, construction mitigation BIA toolkits, business development centers and having resources all in one place, the BIA awards and community improvement plans, actionable advice for economic developers on how to engage with your local BIA, Christmas shopping, supporting local, and the BIA board elections. Rachel's insights are a must listen for anyone passionate about downtowns, building community, and making your main street shine bright. Now let's get into it. Rachel, thank you so much for taking the time to join me on Hyperlocal today.
Mason, thank you so much for having me. I've been listening to your podcast and I love learning so much about the amazing economic development initiatives happening across the province.
Oh my goodness, you're making me blush. I really appreciate you listening, and that's great. And thank you so much for the support along the way as well. Really excited to get to know you a bit more today and for our listeners to get to know you and the awesome work you're doing. But we will just hop right into things. I know when I start with folks, I'm always curious, you know, where they come from, how they got where they are today. And you've got quite the story yourself. You currently run the Ontario Business Improvement Area Association, also known as the OBIAA, which collectively represents more than 100,000 businesses, 18,000 property owners, 6 million employees and jobs, and has a current value assessment of more than $70 billion, which is pretty impressive. From your time as the executive director at the Barton Village Business Improvement Area to your time as the executive director for the St. Catharines Downtown Association, and now is your time as the executive director of the Ontario Business Improvement Area Association, I'm curious, what sparked your passion for downtowns and economic development? And how did your journey lead you to where you are today?
Great question. And, you know, it's funny, I've heard this a lot through the economic development field as well, is you never really intend to get there, but you just happen to get there by your passions, your desires, your actions, and so forth. And full disclosure, when I first started in the BIA world, I didn't even know what the term BIA meant. I was really more focused on community activating, and, you know, I lived just off Barton Village, and the newspaper at the time was very negative on Barton Village, you know, and I was in a community group and we were talking about something positive needs to happen. Someone needs to do a festival or something for the community to reinstill that pride and that hope. And then I turned around and said, oh, we can't say someone needs to, we need to. And so we did. And so by doing that festival, I saw kind of firsthand the impact that action had on that community. And the BI approached me and offered me a position. And I kind of got hooked, if I'm honest with you. I find in the BI world, you have this ability to be very hands-on and have really tangible impacts on your community and your downtowns, which is something that I love. And, you know, I learned along the way, because a BIA, you can feel very alone in a BIA world, because again, not many people know what you do. It's, kind of confusing to explain. And so I really connected with OBIA at the time, so the Ontario BI Association, where I'm at now. And Kay Matthews was the executive director at the time. And she was a huge mentor to me, just really kind of connecting me, supporting me, sharing resources that really helped me to grow in that role, and continue through my second role at St. Catharines. And then I did join the board as well for OBIA. So really kind of got ingrained in it, so to speak. Really kind of speaking again to that passion that I had. And so that's why I'm here today, basically.
Very cool. I think that's so special in many ways. One being that you saw an issue within your community, and you said, instead of leaving it up to others, you said, "Hey, we are these people, and we can make this difference within our community." I think that's something so powerful, and I see. I wish I saw it more, to be honest, within communities. I feel there's a lot of folks who are thinking, "Oh, well, the government's going to come and save us, and they're going to do everything for us." So it's really nice to hear from folks like yourself, who decide to make a difference in their own community. I think that's really powerful, and to what you said, taking pride and having hope in your community and bringing that back for people is so powerful.
It is. And you know, it I understand that sometimes it can be very overwhelming, right? Because you may see so many things you want to change or want to have changed or fixed, and it seems your control or your grasp. But I would say start small, right? Start with those quick wins, those low-hanging fruit, and gradually you will get there, right? You're not going to move the mountain at once, but you move it stone by stone. And I think as long as you don't give up hope along the way and you have a really strong team around you, you can get there. So I would just encourage everybody out there, if you want to have an impact on your community, start small, don't give up, and get your supporters.
Of that. I think that's so great. And I really like the analogy of the mountain stone by stone, because I feel like in life, a lot of times, whether it be parenthood or professional life, sometimes there's this giant mountain and you're not sure where to start, and you just got to kind of chip away at it a little bit at a time. So just going on of the OBIAA, and do I pronounce that OBA? Is that the best way to say it?
Good question. We call it Obia.
Obia. Okay, perfect. Instead of me spelling it out, I will say Obia. And for those who are listening and might not be aware, can you tell us a little bit about Obia and what is a BIA, who's involved, what they do, and what support you offer to your members?
Absolutely. Yeah. So the BIA model actually started in Toronto over 50 years ago. So it stands for Business Improvement Area. And it basically is a local board of the municipality that operates as a not-for-profit. And it is a set geographic area where all of the commercially zoned properties within that area and their tenants pay a levy. And that money goes together for the greater good, basically. So it's all about collaboration. That's kind of the foundation it's built on. And the theme of you're stronger together, right? You have a much bigger marketing impact when you can, bring your dollars together, so to speak, and get a bigger impact. Same with beautification, same with marketing and events and different other initiatives that BIs typically undertake as their pillars. And so OBIA, we are kind of overseeing, or here to support, I would say, the BIAs in Ontario. So in Ontario, there are over 300 BIAs now. So we've really grown. And the neat thing is, it's also a made in Canada model that has gone across the world. So there is the BIA model in England, Australia, the States, you name it. It's a model that people have seen is being successful and impactful. And so they've copied it. There's little tweaks along the way for sure, but for the most part, the intent is always the same. And so that is really rewarding. So for our members in Ontario, we support them through networking opportunities, through educational events and initiatives. We do a number of toolkits and resources available for our members to really kind of make sure that they've got good governance and good structures and supports they need to be successful. And then another key piece that we do for our BIs as well, and our municipalities, because we do have municipal members, is we do a lot of advocacy. So we continually build relationships and partnerships across other organizations. So For example, the Economic Development Council of Ontario, and also TIO, the Tourism Industry Association of Ontario. We work really closely with both of them to really amplify that voice that our main streets and our downtowns matter, and that are hu they're really the heartbeat of our community, and they're an economic hub, right, where we need to ensure the support is there to help them survive.
Awesome. I think that is that's great, and that's incredible. Over 300 BIAs. That's quite the achievement, and spreading that from Ontario to other places around the world, I think is phenomenal. And I think that those relationships, whether it be with EDCO or TIO, are so important, because at the end of the day, we all want the same thing. We want to make sure that our communities are thriving, and that we have good partnerships to be successful.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think, it's funny how it's really mirroring that BI model, right, of collaboration. You're always stronger together. So with OBIA being able to do that more provincially, I think it just amplifies the impact the BIs can have.
Absolutely. And I love that. And to bring that back to your analogy with the mountain, we can move a lot more stones if we have good partnerships and more people coming to the table. So
Absolutely. Yeah, if that wheelbarrow is not working to move those stones, go find someone who's got a wheel, or those kind of things, right? You
for sure.
really have to reach out and get those resources for sure.
Yeah. So Rachel, I'm curious. I know you mentioned you have over 300 BIAs just in Ontario. So you must hear from a lot of folks. And I know the world is a pretty turbulent place right now, whether it's different environmental factors, geopolitics, or even the current tariff war with the United States. I'm curious, what you're hearing from some of those members out there.
Good question. And it's a challenging time, right? Because there's so much uncertainty, which I think is the key word we're hearing a lot, right? People are just not sure of what tomorrow will bring, especially with regards to the tariffs, because announcements are being made so, frequently, and they're not able to keep up with that, right? So even small business owners, they're not really able to figure out what their pricing should be because they don't know the impact those tariffs are going to have fully. And so they're often operating at a loss on the products they're selling because they don't know how to correctly price it. So those are some big challenges for sure that we're hearing among the small business community. The other thing that we're hearing from the BIs specifically in more of the rural areas is they're undergoing a lot of construction, which construction is good. At least I should say the end result of construction is good. Because we all want to see that renewed and revived Main Street, but it is challenging going through the construction in terms of making sure your business survives that, right? Making sure your downtown and Main Street is accessible, and the people are still going to be coming to your Main Street. So we're working with a lot of the BIs and municipalities that have been going through that, and we're looking actually to put together a construction mitigation toolkit for both municipalities and BIAs with a whole bunch of best practices and resources that they can then use, so to help navigate and really support those small businesses to survive through that.
That is super exciting, and that answers my next question for you. I was going to ask, is there some sort of programs or methods available to help mitigate some of that impact? Because obviously, as we know, these things continually happen, or we hope that municipal councils decide to rejuvenate their downtowns or fix some of the potholes or what have you. But obviously, that also produces a negative impact for those businesses and makes it difficult when somebody literally can't come in the front door. But as we know as well, these things do need to happen in order to keep, an accessible and a safe downtown. So I'm really excited to hear that you folks are going to be putting out that construction mitigation toolkit. I think that's something that is desperately needed in a lot of places, and there's many folks, different municipalities as well, that are worried at the political level because they don't want to upset businesses, and then they don't know what to do within that time. So they just push on these projects. And as you know, with kind of anything in the construction realm, the further we push these projects off, the more expensive they become in the future. So there's never a perfect time to do construction in front of a business. So I think having those mitigation tools and programs, whether it's through funding or other creative ways, are going to be really well received out in the community.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think, the key is often to keep people in the loop, right, with what's going on. I know it can be scary getting backlash from people, but the more you tell them and the more they're informed, usually the better it goes. And we've got some really great examples of BIs who've worked really closely with their municipalities through the construction process. Some have hired their own, architects and engineers to come up with drawings and pitches for what their vision is for that main street, right? And then the BI and municipality have worked together to get that implemented. We've also seen other BIAs where, they look at the future and say, you know what? 10 years from now, we're going to want this. So while we're digging up the street, can we implement it so that it's accessible? Things like increasing power supply, so that they can do string lights or lots of little things like that to really enhance the construction. So it's more big picture thinking as opposed to this is the bare minimum that's got to get done. Really using that as an opportunity to create a beautiful main street that fits that future vision, which I think is so important.
Beautiful. I think that's a phenomenal idea, which brings us very well as a segue into our next question. I know in economic development, it really thrives on partnerships, as it's pretty clear that BIAs do as well. Can you share a specific story of a successful collaboration between a BIA and a municipality that has driven a significant community impact in the past?
Yeah, absolutely. So, sticking with construction, Southampton did a really good job working really closely with their municipality and really made that construction process as smooth as possible, being at the table, helping to navigate communication to their members, and really streamlined that. I also would love to do a shout out to Downtown Collingwood, who have a fantastic relationship with their municipality and really work quite closely with them. In terms of applying jointly for grants to help then pool their funds together to do initiatives like wayfinding or different patio-licious programs that they run together jointly. So it really is a case of pooling funds together for the greater good and getting more bang for your buck, right? In the town of Collingwood, they also have a business development center, which is a really neat model that we're seeing replicated more and more. And that is where in one building, you're going to get your economic development department, you're going to get your business enterprise center, your chamber, your BIA, and a bunch of other kind of accelerator or business support organizations that are really there for the same reason, to see small businesses thrive and the local economy thrive. So it really makes sense to put them together and work together cohesively. We see that with downtown Burlington. They're in the same building as the Chamber and Economic Development and Tourism, and really have built a very, one-stop shop, so to speak, right? So some really successful models like that we see across the province, which just makes, again, through collaboration, that impact so much bigger.
I love that. And I think that really provides a great opportunity. I know you mentioned Burlington there and bringing the economic development, the BIA, the chamber, things like the CDC and other groups who are focused on very similar things and physically bringing them together. I think that idea of collision is so important when it comes to thoughts and new ideas, and especially if folks are in the same sort of an industry, making sure they have that time to actually get together, and whether it's work or elsewhere, but to have some of those discussions and how can we work together, or hey, we're actually experiencing a similar issue, maybe there's a way we can partner and work on this. So I think that's a tremendous example, and I think some real potential for the future for folks to think about. And then definitely appreciate the special shout out to Collingwood. I have a friend Preya who works in the ECDEV office there, and I know they're doing some amazing things. So I'm sure she will hear that, and they will definitely appreciate that special shout out as well.
Thanks.
So moving a bit further down the road, I understand you folks have a conference coming up, the BAA conference in 2026, which is in April, from April 19th to the 22nd in St. Catharines, of all places. And where Ontario's Main Street leaders gather to learn, connect, and grow. I was curious if you could tell us a little bit about that conference, the awards, and then why people should attend.
Yeah, absolutely. So the OBIA conference is a really good opportunity to kind of hear from those Main Street leaders and movers and shakers, so to speak, right? To hear those best practices that are happening across the province and further afield, even. So they're tangible ways and methods you can just then take home with you and implement, right? So it's a 3-day conference and it's very jam-packed. So not only do we have educational sessions, we also do mobiles, which is a really key piece of what we do. So our mobiles, we go out, feet on the ground, basically into those BIAs near the conference site and learn what is working here, what isn't working here, what are your challenges, what are your successes, and how can we grow from that? There's this funny thing that when you get in the BI world, and it's probably very similar for economic development, whenever you tour a local town, doesn't matter where you are, you're no longer taking photos like you usually do. You're now focusing on benches and garbages and hanging baskets and banners. And it's a real key giveaway to show that you're in the BI world because your phone is filled with those photos. So we really give that opportunity as well at the conference to see those things and learn from them, which I think is really appreciated by those in attendance. And the awards piece is another key piece of our conference. So we do a very special awards night for anybody really that is wanting to learn and kind of feels that they deserve an award. And honestly, most of our BIAs do because they really do go above and beyond in creativity, in passion, and in making changes in their downtowns. And so we have an awards night where we give out awards to those who have really gone above and beyond and excelled in that action that they've taken. And so we've got a number of different categories. The awards actually just opened. So take a look on our website and apply. You do not have to be an OBIA member. You don't even have to be a BI. You can be a municipality applying as long as it's being done in partnership or in a Main Street in a BIA. So it is a great opportunity for those to get credit where credit is due, but that often don't get the credit for it, right? In the BI world, and I'm sure economic development world too, you do a lot of behind the scenes work where it's not bragged about, right? And so this is a really good opportunity for people to come and brag about what they've done and the impacts they've had. And then our members and attendees can learn from that, right? We also do a trade show at our conference, so it's a good opportunity for attendees to kind of see some of the really kind of state-of-the-art suppliers and partners that are out there working with BIAs to build their kind of catalog of who they can call, so to speak, for resources and such. So yeah, we get a the conference is a lot of fun, but also a lot of work, right? So it's you've got to balance both, but at the end of the day, the feedback we get from our attendees is that they really value most the networking. Just being able to connect with people from across the province and further afield that are doing what they're doing and learn from them is huge.
I think that's phenomenal. And I can say, as someone who has actually been to the conference before, I think it was probably about 10 years ago now. So it's been a bit. But when I was a very green city councillor way back in the day, I remember going there and it was interesting because it was such a mixture of there was, different elected officials, lots of staff from municipalities, but also folks from BAs and downtown managed boards and such. So I think it's quite the group that's there. And onto your, topic of networking, I think it's such a great opportunity to share those ideas and attend some of those sessions to learn some of the specifics about how you can better support BIA. I know something that really resonated with me is, if you want to have a successful downtown, you have to have people living there. And the more people that are living there, the better your chances are and such. And so that was something I found really powerful. And after that conference, we ended up creating a downtown community improvement plan, which was extremely successful in Orillia. Got a lot more units above stores and such, and facade improvements and the whole shebang. But it's from areas like that and conferences where you get to, learn some of these things, discuss them, and then really implement those in your community. So clearly it's making a big difference, and highly recommend folks to attend.
Yeah, I agree. And thank you. I love how I feel like our paths have crossed in the past so much, but we've never, I don't think, actually met before. So it's really amazing that it takes a podcast to connect us.
It's a big world out there, and I'm really really excited to be getting to know you a bit more today, and I'm sure we're gonna run into each other in the future, whether that's at EDCO or maybe even at the conference in April. It is a day before my birthday, so that is a potential, and we will see what happens. But definitely, it's on my list of things to attend in the future for sure.
Amazing. And I'm sure we can get some birthday cake in there for you.
Okay. I love that. That's so great. Continuing the BIA insights trend, I was curious, through your experience in the past and now, are there any specific secrets to success in creating a strong BIA or, tried, tested, and true methods that people, whether they're in economic development or within a BIA proper, or even just a local business that is a member of a BIA, are there certain things they should focus on to improve their area?
Good questions. I feel there's a couple things. One thing I always say to any BIA is the stronger your governance, the stronger your foundation. So I would say as a local board of the municipality, there's a lot of rules to follow, unfortunately, but making sure you have very good governance is so important. And then it will make that rule following so much easier and just make you more successful and more impactful too with what you do. And then the other thing I would say is as a member in a BIA, I am a big believer that the more you put into something, the more you get from it, right? So, and obviously being respectful of everybody's time. I know our small businesses are very busy, but even just making sure you're keeping up to date with the newsletters or that you're following them on social so you know what's going on. BIAs don't want to waste your time either, and they really will only be sending things that are pertinent and important to you. And it is very specific to that area that you're in. So I would say making sure that you're in the loop with those things is a first place to start. But if you have the ability or capacity to join a committee or join the board, I think that's where you get a lot of value because you have the ability to really guide and lead the BIA, right? If you've got a vision for what your downtown and Main Street should be in 10 years, make sure you're voicing that, right? Making sure that you're not just saying, talking from the side, but you're actually getting your hands in there and saying, you know what, I want to be part of this future vision. How can I help? And being at that table, I think, is what would make the BI most successful.
Awesome. I think that is great advice, and also just a note. I know the I think it's all municipalities at the same time, but their BIA elections are next year, in tandem with the municipal election, correct?
You've got it. Yeah, I love it, Mason. You're
Yeah, so
so
run for your local BIA
smart.
if you're a business member down there, and make sure you get involved so you can be involved in some of this wonderful stuff.
Absolutely. And if you want to check it out before you jump in, so to speak, the BI board meetings are open to the public. So it really allows members to kind of check out what goes on and what's discussed and see if it's for them, which hopefully it is, right? But yes, you're completely right. The BI board elections follow the terms of council. So every time there's a council election, there is a BIA board election. So yeah, check those out in your local BIA for sure.
Very cool. So just tying things into more economic development proper, for somebody working in an economic development office in a municipality where they have a BIA in their community, I'm curious, what are some of the key steps you'd recommend for them to actively support their BIA, whether it be the board or the members? And then also, how do you recommend the best way to build a strong relationship between the BIA and the Economic Development Office or person, depending on the size of the municipality, obviously, because there are some major differences, as you know.
Yes, there are lots of differences in size, right? For sure, and capacity. And taking that into account, I would say obviously, do what you can based on your capacity for sure. But I would say having open dialogue with that BIA, inviting them to be part of the discussion and be at the table, especially when it's regarding matters that pertain to their area, I think would be really valued. The mandate is pretty much the same, right? For economic development in the BIA, it is about improving that area, right? That so it's good for businesses to survive and thrive. So very fitting in terms of they're doing the same thing. And I would say too, if you can attend board meetings, that is a great resource too. Reach out to the BIA to see if you would be able to get on the agenda to say, can I give a 10-minute update? Or if there's initiatives that are coming to the area that will have a big impact on that BIA, then making sure they're in the loop. If it's a big, skyrise proposal for a new development, making sure the BIA is aware. One of the things we often hear from economic development offices and municipalities that they really value about a BIA is that it's a collective voice. So when they're looking to do something or make a change or update their master plan or things like that, they have a central voice that they can go to, and that's the BIA, to gather feedback, right? Because the BIA will have in turn gathered it from their members. So they say they really value that piece because it saves them a lot of time. They no longer have to necessarily go door to door, or often sometimes they will do, but it just allows that more unified voice to have such an impact, right?
Absolutely. I think that collective voice is so important, and especially when it's in a positive way. And I think that that relationship building between staff at the municipal level and within the BIA and its board, but also with the elected officials, and especially if it's let's say next year we're looking at 2026, there's the potential in a lot of these communities to have new members of council. And I think establishing those relationships early on and explaining, hey, this is why a BIA is important. Here's how we work. Here's how we operate. Here's some things we can do to help support the rest of the community, I think are really vital, as opposed to kind of the opposite side of that, which is like a very hostile, negative relationship, which I've also seen in different municipalities in the past. And that never goes great for anybody, unfortunately.
No, it's so true. And I think that's another piece, right? It's so important to have it go both ways. I was in actually downtown Burlington chatting with Brian from the BIA there, and he had this really good advice. And he basically says, if you take criticism from someone, you should make sure they're also giving compliments. So don't make sure it's always balanced, not just one-sided. And I think that is so true in your relationships, right? You need to make sure that you're not just critiquing everything, but you're also giving praise. And I find municipalities, it's hard for them to kind of brag about what they're doing. And so when I was actually in the BI world, I would take photos, for example, of public work staff planting our flower beds or cleaning up our street and do a social post and say thank you to the city for helping us keep our downtown clean. And those posts were some of the more popular posts that we would do because people loved that action and loved being able to see people roll up their sleeves and help out, right? So I think there's little things like that too that a BI can really help partner with the city on, because it would lose it a little bit of the message if it was posted on the city's channels, because it's very awkward when you're bragging about yourself, right? But when you allow the BI to do that, it hits a different note and it really goes where it's supposed to go, right?
Very cool. I like that idea a lot, and I think that's a nice way to have that symbiotic relationship in a positive manner, especially in areas where things might be a little hostile, whether it's from historic things or what have you. But that, hey, we really appreciate some of the stuff that you're doing, and that I think goes both ways as well. The city mentioning, hey, here's some really cool stuff that the BIA is up to that we want to support or put some more funding behind. And in those sorts of initiatives. And looping that into my next question with inspiration. For a municipality that's looking for some inspiration to do something fun in its downtown, what unique events, festivals, or amenities in a downtown, have you heard of that really stand out in your mind?
Good question. I would say it differs, right? It really depends on the BI and the location in terms of what the need is from that community or those businesses. Some really love road closures and events. Others hate them. So it really is a case of knowing what they want, and that's where BI can really help come to the table in terms of sharing what the feedback is. Some really kind of, I guess, tangible things too that we've seen be successful is cultural events. We've seen an increase in more cultural events being offered on our main streets and our downtowns, and they draw a lot of tourism. So I would suggest working with a local group that is from that culture to give them space to showcase their events or their celebrations or their festivals. Because often there's a gap with that. And when you help fill that gap, you draw from a much bigger audience of people who are like, I've been searching for something like this for so long, and now I finally found it. And they come back year after year because you become known almost as that central hub for that culture. So I would really suggest those kind of initiatives. I would also suggest, if you want to start smaller than a big event per se, historical walking tours or cultural walking tours are really popular. We used to do those in downtown St. Catharines, and the first one we did, we had a couple come from the city of Mississauga, and they had come and stayed overnight in a hotel, and they said that they wanted to make, a weekend getaway of it. And we'd never envisioned that being a demand before. We just thought it would be just attracting locals. But history tours and cultural tours actually have a much bigger draw too for tourism. So I would encourage some of those pieces for sure. And then the other thing I would say is maybe enhancing the public realm, right? Making sure that it's usable, and that it fits what that community needs. We're seeing a lot more lights being asked for, even just little string lights to really enhance the visual and the ambience of the area. So those seem to be quite popular too.
Very cool. I think that was a good overview and balance of a few different things. And I like, what you said there, helping to fill the gap. I think probably in a lot of communities, there are these missed opportunities where if they were given a chance that they have the potential to make a very substantial impact. And what you said about different cultures as well, I think there's definitely an appetite there. And what we're seeing, especially through COVID, was a lot of folks from the GTA kind of moving out into the more rural communities and such. And I know chatting with a few folks who are my neighbors and in different areas in Orillia that have moved up, that's something a lot of the times that they see is lacking as a bit. And a big reason is when they come from someplace like Toronto or another major city around the world, they're used to having this huge amount of cultural events and being able to celebrate some of their events and festivals. And when you go to a spot where there's not that, it's, hey, that's something lacking. But it's also an opportunity to start doing something along those lines and potentially attract more folks in the future, but also to share that culture with the rest of the community, which I think is the more important thing there, so that we have better understanding of each other and build those stronger relationships, whether it be on a personal level or in business as well.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think helping amplify those voices that aren't often given a mic, so to speak, I think really is important, right? And it's an opportunity that BIAs and municipalities can provide. I think it is important though to do it with them, not for them, if that makes sense.
100%, 100%, and I would say even further to that, having them take the lead on things and not telling them, oh yeah, this is going to be great, but saying, hey, what do you think would be good, and then supporting and being supportive of that. I'm curious, Rachel. I know we've chatted a lot about BIAs today. Is there anything that we're missing or areas of interest to our listeners that we haven't touched on that we should?
Good question. I would just say, main streets have had their challenges over the year, right? With regards to malls, let's just be honest. And it is hard to compete, right? Because a main street, you are public realm focused, right? You're there for everyone. And so I would just encourage listeners to really make sure you're supporting local, especially this holiday season. When you shop local, especially on your main streets, you're going to find something that's unique, that's you're not going to get at anywhere else really. But more than that, it's also the experience you get. You main street businesses will often get to know their customers and know you by name, but also main street businesses keep the majority of their money in the local economy. So you're reinvesting in your community when you purchase goods from them. So I would just recommend, where possible, support local this season. And many of our BIs are doing wonderful initiatives to help support that. Many have gift card programs that you can purchase as gift cards, where it's a gift card that works in most of their businesses in their area. So it really gives you that ability to give a gift for someone you don't know what to get for, right? And then they can pick it out themselves, but still supporting local, which is so important. So I would just do a polite reminder to please support local this Christmas.
Absolutely. And I'd say, kind of linking to one of our earlier questions about what's going on in the world, I think that if there's ever been a time to do that, the time is now. It's so crucial with everything going on, and especially with this trade war with the United States, that if you want these businesses to be there in the future, you need to get off your butt and actually go and support them. And I know that's really blunt, but that is the reality. For a lot of folks out there, it's this year and this season, could make that big difference. So just make sure you do, and get out there. And the Christmas holidays coming up is a prime example, and a prime opportunity to get out there and put your money where your mouth is.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know what? A BIA is a great resource, obviously, depending on their size and capacity. But many of our BIAs that are a little bit bigger will have a directory, right? So they'll list all of those businesses on their website. So in even gift cards, you can purchase often on the website too, right? So, if you're looking to plan before you go to see what could fit for what, there's resources out there, right? And even if you were to call the BI and get advice, I'm sure they would be more than happy to give you that advice too. So, I don't think there should be anything holding people back from shopping local and going into those be I mean, honestly, Ontario has some of the most stunning and beautiful downtowns. And making sure that you're experiencing that, I think, is so important. And the winter season is a really beautiful time to explore them because they do come alive with light installations and, window decor and other different things that you just typically don't get anywhere else. It's stunning.
Absolutely. And not to put you on the spot, but I think the Christmas season is an exciting time. Without, making you choose favorites too hard, are there any particular, like, really Christmassy downtowns that I can take my wife, because she's just absolutely obsessed with Christmas, where it would make a big splash for her and for other folks listening, obviously, but more for her.
Good question. Good question. There's a lot of BIs that do events and do Christmas parades. So I would recommend checking those out. There's also a lot of BIs that do different like dining specials through the Christmas months and the winter months. So I know in Orillia there's downtown days of delicious days, sorry, of Christmas. So I encourage you to obviously check those out as they're local to you. But if you're looking to travel a little bit, downtown Stratford is stunning. Just really picturesque, but also really go above and beyond with their Christmas decor. So I would recommend them. Honestly, most of our downtown, or almost all of our downtowns are stunning. So really, you can't go wrong. But downtown Stratford is one for sure. I would also suggest in downtown Burlington, they have the Village Square, and it is a hidden gem. It is a It's not actually public property, it's private property. But this property owner has created this beautiful, kind of old worldly village square. Reminds me very much of like an old English village, so to speak, with like cobblestone streets, and has it actually an English telephone booth. And so, yeah, if you're looking for something magical, there's usually something in every downtown, but those are a couple that I would also recommend for sure.
Okay, very cool. I like that a lot. And thank you for the Aurelia shout out. Definitely appreciate that. And we'll send that over to our folks in our BIA. So we have a closing tradition on the podcast. We have a mystery question, and that can kind of take a few different forms. That could be me coming up with some random question on the spot. That could be somebody submitting a question from the audience. So if there are folks who are listening, if you do want a question asked, feel free to you can message me or you can put it in the comments, and happy to bring those up in the future. But this particular question actually comes from somebody you know fairly well, which is Belinda from the town of Minto.
Amazing. Belinda's amazing.
Oh yeah, she is a superstar, and I know she also won one of the awards, I believe, last year for the work they did
That's
with the
right.
Move to Minto campaign and some of the other stuff. So superstar. So I thought that this question would be fitting coming from her. And the question is, imagine you just found a suitcase with $1 million, and it's earmarked for economic development, but there's no note on how to spend it. Where would you invest it to make the biggest impact? And what's the quirky or unexpected project that you would secretly fund on the side?
Oh, I love that. Wow, what a question. Obviously downtown.
I figured as much.
You know what? I feel lights have a big impact. So I would probably invest in string lights, or you know, if that wasn't there already, some form of lighting that really helps enhance and add ambiance to the area. And then so many options. $1 million. I mean, it could easily go through CIPs for our small businesses to help them, you know, improve facades and things like that. Or, you know, a marketing campaign to really get a beautiful video of what's special about that downtown would be really neat too. Or even like I'm giving you lots here, sorry. I really love, and everybody is always so jealous of it, you know, in International Village in downtown Hamilton, which is another beautiful one to view for winter. They have the archway, and everybody is always so jealous of that archway because it's a beautiful entrance piece to know that you're coming into the downtown and the BIA. So some form of wayfinding, but entranceway signage, I think, is always really impactful too. Yeah, there's so much. And then it obviously depends on seasons, right? Like, I mean, if we're going summer or spring, then probably some flowers and some trees, and you know, like there's so many options with this. I wish it was more than $1 million. I
Yeah, isn't that the truth?
know, could get easily spent.
No, that's a fantastic answer, and I'm sure Belinda will appreciate that as well. I really like the example. As somebody who has not been recently to downtown, I will definitely have to check out that archway. That sounds like something that's very cool, and I think you can never go wrong with marketing dollars, and especially when it comes to video. I think that's so important to actually show people, these things. I know we talked about a few different amenities earlier in downtowns, but there's one thing, hearing about them or reading a bit of text, but when you actually see it, and it's like it's just this, powerful, like, wow, like that is so cool. Like, wouldn't it be nice to go and see that or experience that? And especially when it comes to seasonal stuff, there's so many great seasonal events and cultural events throughout the year, and seeing is believing, I think. So I think you hit the nail on the head, and lighting just goes so far. Even my wife and I were chatting the other night about our son who just turned one, and we're like, what Christmas lights are we going to take him around at night and show him? Because we love doing that in the past, and so lighting does make a giant difference.
It does. And you know what? If you're looking for really special ones that are a little bit further away, so downtown Burlington at Spencer Smith Park, they have beautiful light displays. Obviously, the same with Niagara Falls. So there's a lot of really kind of wow light displays that you can walk through, and you know, they're standalone. You can get your photos taken in them. And I did that with my girls when they were younger. They're a bit older now, but when they were younger, we did that and they loved it.
Very cool. Well, Rachel, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today, and wishing you all the best with BIAs in the future.
Thank you so much, Mason, and hope to see you either at EDCO, as you said, or at the OBIA conference in April.
Sounds like a plan. Thank you for joining us on Hyperlocal. Real stories, real impact, local solutions, and global perspectives. If today sparked an idea, share it with your network and tag us. If you love today's conversation, hit subscribe, leave a review, and share it with that one person who needs to hear it. Thank you so much, and let's keep the momentum going.